You're listening to Lost or Found Podcast, where we have open conversations to help you walk through your past and examine your life with love. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michelle Choi.
Hello, friends. It's summer, and I've been picking up a lot of virtual home health shifts and working from my garage. With our growing family, room is becoming scarce, and while I feel like the garage is unclaimed and a relatively quiet space, me and the laundry machine. I've never been so efficient at doing laundry, although folding them is another dilemma. Working out of my garage with the garage door wide open, I feel the breeze even on a hot day. Insulation sucks, so sometimes it can get really hot. And after a certain hour, it's the flies in the space too. I'm reminded of my neighbor Jim, who showed me his garage man cave, and I would chuckle seeing him hang out in the garage all day. And oh my, he was only giving me a glimpse of what was to become of me. I work from my garage all day sometimes, although I'm not opening cold cans of beer throughout my day. But anyway, I've been thinking of him a lot in my workspace, and I also miss the guy. On today's show, I'll be sharing with you a chapter from my book, Untangling. It's about my daughter, Rose. I wrote it because oftentimes we honor people and their lives when they're gone, it seems. But I wanted to honor her life because she is alive. Her impact on my life. Anne will be taking a short break for the summer. Lost or Found Podcast will resume after Labor Day. Have a great summer, and I hope that you get to enjoy some moments of time.
Chapter 14, My Rose. Roses symbolize God's love at work in the world. Different colored roses can symbolize different spiritual concepts, including passion, sacrifice, love, beauty, wisdom, gratitude, peace, and courage. I am fortunate to have an amazing Rose in my life. The person with whom I spend the most time in the car is my daughter, Rose. We named her Rose because before she was born, my husband woke up from his sleep one day and knew that her name needed to be Rose. I love the name, and it's the flower with the highest vibrational frequency. Also, who doesn't love Betty White's character, Rose, from The Golden Girls? Since giving up my career, I have free times for things I never thought were important. While my husband ends up driving my son to most of his sports activities, as he's either the coach or assistant coach, I end up covering most of Rosie's extracurriculars. She's 7 years old, and in the car, we chat about school. She tells me about her friend dynamics, or she sings songs that she's learned at school. The last song was about a sinner not answering the knocking on the door. And well, we had to talk about that one. It's a catchy song, but I really can't stand that word, sinner. It's so judgmental. Maybe sinner is not the right word for our times. Perhaps a better word is the wounded. Rose is very task-oriented, which reminds me of my childhood best friend. She tells me about her kind of, but not really, crush. I love to see her giggle with her friends. I love to see her feeling proud of herself, like when she mastered her cartwheel and handstand. She loves softball, but equally loves a chance from the bench with her friends. I was never able to do any of those things, so it brings me joy to watch her having fun. I also treasure Rose's tolerance. She's never ashamed of me when I pick her up at school looking pretty horrendous, with my signature rolled-up sweatpants and stains on my clothes, which happens 50% of the time. When Rosie was a newborn baby and she cried, she actually had real tears come out of her eyes. I noticed this because my older child didn't. His were more crocodile. While both children observe us, Rose really observes me. When Rose was little, she would tell me that Om is the heartbeat of the universe. When she was about to graduate from preschool, she told her teacher that even when she left and didn't remember that time anymore, she would carry her teachers in her heart always. I hear her listening to my podcast. I'm not sure if she's actually listening or if she just wants to hear my voice, even though I'm not far away. When she was little, her play usually involved pretending to be a teacher or doctor. Now when I hear her playing, she's doing her podcast. She likes to sit at my desk as she pretends to type. She writes positive affirmations and leaves encouraging messages for me on fluorescent sticky notes. She tells me to never stop believing. She tells me that I am amazing. She writes, "Become the shelter of the world, a resting place for the broken and wounded." Recently, she wrote, "Be still, pure from the beginning of birth. No impure thoughts, words, and deeds could taint your noble self." When Rosie draws a picture of her and her teacher, she includes a concrete block wall and bench behind them, and a Spanish tile roof of the school building above them. For her birthday, she asked her grandmother for a back scratcher. She's so Asian sometimes. She is the first to prepare and gets the most excited for all of our birthdays. She's taken over the birthday decorations. She's getting to the point where, soon, I won't be able to pick her up anymore. She still likes to sleep in our bed on Fridays. She will cuddle up right behind me when I'm already at the edge of the bed. It's the cutest and most uncomfortable night's sleep. When she was little, in the middle of the night, she would pat my head to make sure I was still there. She has the loudest and biggest belly laugh in our family. The person who makes her laugh the most is her brother, who she also fights with the most. My daughter forgave me when, during the pandemic, she wanted bangs and I cut them horrifically short, like just over a centimeter long. I came up with what I thought was an ingenious idea at the time, where I put a piece of paper on her forehead, under her hair, and folded the bottom third to catch the cut hair. But without the actual perspective of hair on forehead, I ended up cutting the bangs ridiculously short. She cried for an hour. I will never again cut Rosie's bangs. A lot of people say that Rosie is my little me. While she is similar to who I am now, she is not similar to my childhood self. When I was little, I was so shy and intimidated, I never expressed myself. Rosie isn't like that. Although she is only 7, sometimes I see bits of teenagerdom ready to bust out. Rosie also has rhythm and can dance. She's free. It's well understood in our family that my husband wants her to play team sports. She continues to surprise us because she does it and she tries to do it well. She somehow understands the rules of baseball and can apply them to softball. Even when I call softball baseball, she still loves me. Rosie's turned out to be a pitcher like her big brother. It's so cute when she's up at bat and she's moving her little butt side to side. With her wide stance, she looks so professional, serious, and little. It was a big deal when she was able to hit the ball off a kid pitcher instead of hitting off her coach, who is her dad. She really dislikes it when I raise my voice, but sometimes I have to raise my voice. She asks me if I'm mad, annoyed, or frustrated. She asks me if I'm disappointed. I am hoping that being true to myself, she doesn't deny her true self. I pray that as she grows older, her unconscious is accessible to her consciousness, and that neither consciousness nor unconsciousness is ashamed of the other. I hope that she continues to be aware of her emotions so she doesn't have to repress, deny, or dissociate anything. I pray that she never feels obligated to shape her life according to fear, obedience, or filial piety. I hope that she always invests in the real and that she honors her genuine feelings and not the facade. I pray that she embraces all of her uniqueness. Sometimes it seems like we only honor someone when they're gone. I wanted to honor Rosie with this chapter because she is alive. It's not always easy to see the beauty of everyday moments. I don't want to talk about the beauty of the moment years after it's passed. I want to honor the beauty that is now, even when it gets stuck in the day-to-day, because I'm grateful for all of these moments. I am grateful for her and the impact she's had on my life. She is helping me to see the beauty within me as I learn to accept myself. She loves me unconditionally. When I hold her little hand in mine, it reminds me that I was once this little. My parents may not have known better, but I can know better. I thought my younger self was gone. I thought she was all grown up. Being a parent has brought her back to life and made her real to me again. I remember when I was younger than Rose, my mother was mad at me for something my teacher said. On our walk home, she dug her nails into the palm of my hand to hurt me and punish me. I did not let go of my mother's hand. Now I know what that little hand feels like inside of my own grown hand. It feels so small, so young, and so vulnerable. As I hold my little girl's hand, I am aware that I am also holding the hand of my younger self. When I nurture my daughter, I also nurture my younger self. By being true to myself and by not hurting my daughter, I also slowly heal the little girl within me. My daughter and I talk. I get mad at her, she gets mad at me, and we talk about our disagreements. She doesn't have to be afraid of me. We share our journeys. Rose knows that there are moments when I feel confused. She sees my midlife crisis and sees that I'm also learning about myself while I'm on my own unique path. Rose is also on her own journey. We help each other as we learn what can be possible when we are less afraid. I see Rose. Rose doesn't have to be who I want her to be. Sometimes I show her the way, and oftentimes she ends up helping me to see a way. I don't solely depend on her because she is mine. She is not my possession just because she came out of my vagina. She doesn't have to take care of me and fix my life problems. I am taking care of myself. Rose doesn't have to make me happy. I teach her and sometimes discipline her, but I don't hurt her because I've not dealt with my issues. I see that she sees me and observes me. She takes what she sees and makes it so much more. I pray that my husband and I raise our children so that they have a strong sense of who they are as they live their lives. They don't need anyone's approval or disapproval. I pray that my children know that every day I am proud of them. I am proud that they laugh, they cry, they complain, they study, they run, they openly talk about bodily changes. They ask questions, they wake up the next day, and they really enjoy a piece of cake. We honor their trust, and I pray that they always hold dear their trust in themselves. I let my children see my confusion, pain, and the messy process of taking care of myself, because I want them to understand that they can do anything.
If you're loving the podcast, don't forget to send your friend a favorite episode or leave us a great review. Michelle's new book, Untangling, Liberating Myself from an Enmeshed Family and Impossible Medical Career, is out now. It's honest, humorous, and it brings up our resilience. You'll certainly be laughing, learning, and crying. Find it on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. For more information and show notes, visit our website, michellechoymd.com.